This should be the final of a series of four, and this should be the final, the fourth and final message. Amen. Yeah, so this is mostly a Bible study, and you find your place in 2 Kings chapter 10. We'll be looking at chapter 10 and 11 today. What I'm calling this series, I've actually got a name for it now. It's called Draining the Swamp. Okay? Or Cleaning Up the Swamp. Whatever term you want to use. And the whole swamp here is Ahab and Jezebel and the influence that they have had in the body of, shall we say, the body of the Lord. I've got an outline here again on the board. The left-hand column is Israel. The right-hand column is Judah. And of course, we on the Israel side, we start with Ahab and Jezebel. And by the way, I went and I found it. There was a total, I think it was 20 some years. Where did I write it down? 20 some years that Ahab was king of Israel. 20-some years, but the period between the beginning of Ahab's reign and the coming of Jehu, okay, that brought it to an end, that period was actually 36 years. Now, we think of, the Lord told, as I said, the Lord told Elijah to anoint three kings. Okay, we're just doing some review here. To anoint Elisha to take his place, to anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and then to anoint Jehu. And the anointing of Jehu, we could also call this the Jehu series, I suppose, and to anoint Jehu to clean up the whole mess that Ahab and Jezebel had made. Okay, so we're talking about natural people, but we're also talking about a spirit, okay? There's a spirit of Jezebel. I was thinking of this 36 years of the the influence of Jezebel. I don't know how old they were. It probably tells if I went back and looked how old they were when they came to power. It's back in 1 Kings. It's one of the last chapters of 1 Kings. Maybe I can look it up real quick. Where Ahab came to power. It's in... I don't know. It's somewhere around chapter 16 or 17. It's 17, I guess, where Ahab came to power. No, it's 16. It says that he reigned for 22 years. Okay. Oh, no, it doesn't say how old he was here. I was looking for how old he was. but anyway, let's say that they were, 30, and they reigned for 30. Or at least their influence, Jezebel. Jezebel's influence was another 36 years. If she was 30, which would be an appropriate age for a king to come to power, 30 plus 36, she would have been, about 66 years old when Jehu had her thrown out of the window. Okay? So she was not a young woman. I mean, she was at least in her 60s, let's say, and she was putting on the paint and everything else, trying to seduce Jehu. Amen. And if we look at I don't want to repeat everything I said for three meetings, but just kind of summarize. What does it take to defeat the spirit of Jezebel? Okay? If you want to really look at... I don't know anybody that has studied more about Jezebel than Tommy Cook. God bless Tommy Cook. I asked him one time, I said, how did you learn so much about Jezebel? He said, Brother Mark, I have spent days and days meditating and thinking and poring over what this spirit is all about. And I didn't know where it was, but I found out it was in this book, Seven Letters to Seven Churches. The whole chapter on Thyatira in there is really about the spirit of Jezebel. Okay? Because it was to the church of Thyatira, and I didn't mention this before, it was to the church of Thyatira that the Lord said, because you have allowed Jezebel to come into your group, amen, you've tolerated. How did he say it? Do you remember? Just let me get the words right here. It's in the second chapter of Revelation. Okay? Second chapter, Church of Thyatira. Here we are. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, verse 20. Because thou sufferest, which means you tolerate, that woman Jezebel. Suffereth means more than just tolerate, doesn't it? Have you heard the term enable? How do unclean spirits, how are they allowed to function, let's say, in a family situation? It's because somebody enables it to happen. And who was enabling who in the Jezebel Ahab situation?
Ahab
was enabling Jezebel. In other words, she could not have carried out any of her wicked sorceries or murders or witchcraft or anything else like that if Ahab had not enabled her to do so. Naboth would never have been killed if Ahab had not agreed to her plan to do it. Okay? And because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Now here's another trait of the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit calls himself or herself. See, it isn't always a woman spirit, by the way. Calls himself or herself a prophet, prophetess. So this spirit comes in on the spirit of false prophecy. Okay? But people will buy it and recognize it as a legitimate word of the Lord. But it's not the word of the Lord. It's a false spirit. And Jezebel gets into the churches, she gets into the fellowships, and she is very religious. In fact, there's two meanings of the name Jezebel. The one meaning is pure, chaste, virgin, you know, unmarried, unhusbanded. Okay, that's the one meaning, which is completely opposite of what she really was. I mean, when Jehu, and in fact, I think it was the prophetic word, but Jehu used the word, as long as the whoredoms of your mother. Now, I think it wasn't just a spiritual thing with her. I suspect that there was more than that was really going on with her. All right? So that's the one meaning of the word, okay? The other is her being a sorceress. And she was probably the, what's the woman called that's the head of I could say a witch, but, looking for the term, a high priestess, okay? Her father was, his name was Ethan Baal, okay? Which is kind of a combination of king and priest of Baal. See, these names have meanings. And so she was brought up, in this environment, okay? In the environment of Baal. Boy, did she practice it. Now, the whole thing here that Jehu has to do is wipe out this whole nest, drain this whole swamp, deal with this whole mess. And as you can see from what we've got on the board here, this spirit has gone not only down into Israel, but the thing has crossed over and gone over into the kingdom of Judah as well. All right? Now we have a daughter of Jezebel. This woman is truly the daughter of Jezebel. This is not just Ahab. Because I do believe that Ahab probably had other women and he had other sons. I mean, when you find that Jehu is to deal with 70 sons of Ahab, all right, 70 sons. Now I read that in the Amplified, and the Amplified seems to suggest that they're not all literal first generation sons; that they could be grandsons. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to buy it 100%. Nevertheless, they are heirs, seed of Ahab. Natural seed of Ahab, one way or another. And as I study the history of these kings, you find little clues here and there that these kings did not settle for one wife. Because there are other children, and you come along, and here you find one that's the son of this king, and the Bible lists, and it says, and his mother was so-and-so. And when the Bible says that, it usually means that it's a different mother than the others had. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right, so especially when we get down here on this side, we're going to get there today. All right, so the son of Jehoshaphat, all right, a pure generational seed of David, all right. Jehoram, by the way, or also called Joram, was the son of Jehoshaphat. He married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Now, we're going to get to her today, too. All right, so Jehu is anointed king. This young prophet comes in, pours the oil on him, and then gives the prophecy, and then runs out of the room as fast as he can, and flees for home. I mean, I'm sure that's a dangerous thing to do. You go in and anoint a new king. You're calling for a coup. I don't think that's a very safe thing to do. Prophet or no prophet, he's in trouble. And this is why Elisha told him, do the job and then get out of there as fast as you can. But the amazing thing is that the rest of the army that was with Jehu, they acknowledged that he was to be the king. They made no fuss about it. They said immediately, you're the king. Bring your garments, put a nice seat for him, proclaim him to be the king. And immediately he went out and he began to do the job. All right. So he immediately, I'll draw a little line here from Jehu. He immediately, by the way, this is the king that the 50-man SWAT team. He only reigned for about 2 years. He died young. This one here was also a son of Ahab and Jezebel. Here, let me draw the line down here. They were the first son, the second son. All right, so Ahab and Jezebel, this son, and this woman. All right. Jehu immediately goes after this one, kills him. After this one, kills him. No, not him. Sorry. He wasn't alive anymore. It was this one, I believe. Yeah, they were visiting. I think this is the one. Isn't that the way I've got it? Yeah, it was Ahaziah. And not only that, by the way, he only reigned for 1 year. Not only that, but he had 42 kinsmen. 42 kinsmen that were on their journey to heaven. You see, what was happening, these folks here were now having Thanksgiving dinners and what have you over here with these people. They were all intertwined, visiting back and forth, going over to see. These 42 said, "Where are you going?" "Well, we're going over to see the queen. We're going over to see the children of the queen. We're going over to see the children of the king." So Ahab said, "Take care of them too." Jehu said, "All right, now, let me start." That's just sort of a background history. Let me start here in chapter 10, verse 18. Okay? And it says, "And Jehu gathered all the people together." All right, now, Jehu, remember, he's over on the Israel side. He gathered all the people together, and he said to them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu will serve him much." What's he doing? Is he betraying the calling? No. He's setting a trap. He's setting a trap. How would we liken that today? I'd like to think of an example.
Trump is negotiating with the Democrats.
Oh, maybe that would be it. Yeah.
It's really not. You know, he's gonna.
Barack served thus and thus little, but let's really go for it. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, "Now therefore, call unto me all the prophets of Baal." By the way, how many are we talking about here now? What do you know about the history of the prophets of Baal? All right, Elijah invited Ahab to come to Mount Carmel. He invited all the people to come and bring the prophets of Baal. Okay? So Ahab had 450, Jezebel had 400, right? Ahab's prophets showed up. Jezebel was apparently smart enough that she wasn't going to let her prophets come to this big party. What happened to Ahab's 450 prophets?
They fell by the sword.
They all fell by the sword that day. All right. Now, where did these prophets of Baal show up again? It was when Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "Well, Syria has taken that city, Ramoth-Gilead. I want it back. Will you come with me and help me?" And Jehoshaphat said, "Well, do we have the word of the Lord to do that? I mean, we're all same blood here and everything. Do we have the word of the Lord to do it?" "Well, yes, I have these 400 prophets that are all in agreement." Remember the prophet, what was his name, Chemoth? You had his name the other day, Rita. The one that made the horns of iron? What's the matter?
She's saying something.
Oh, okay. So anyway, there were 400 prophets that were giving them the word. Go, yes, the Lord says. Now, by the way, these are prophets of Baal, but they're speaking in the name of the Lord. The Lord will give you prosperity. The Lord will give you victory. But they're prophets of Baal, is who they are. So, by the way, the name Baal, what does the name Baal really mean? The name Baal really means Lord. And the name Baal Zebub is what? Lord of the flies. So, you know, nowadays when you say Lord, it could be a generic term. Who is your Lord? Which Lord? Which Lord are you talking about? Oh, Baal. So Baal is just a language. A different Lord, though. A different Christ. You see what I mean? All right, so these are the prophets of Baal now. They're still alive. Jezebel's 400 prophets are still alive and well. And they've probably been adding to their number since then. All right, so Jehu gathered the people together. Now therefore call to me the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. Let none be wanting. So, Baal, his servants, his priests, all of them. You got to leave?
Yeah, sorry.
Just got to go off the gate.
Zoe-ish. I think I'm going to have to take it urgent here.
I have to go.
Okay.
Sorry.
I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whoever shall be wanting, he shall not live, but Jehu did it in subtlety to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. So, he's gathering a big party to Baal, and he said, I don't want anybody to be missing from this gathering. Amen? So, verse 20, Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so there was not a man left that came not, and they came into the house of Baal. So you see, there was not only was there a temple, but there was a house of Baal as well. Okay? Their big worship house was the house of Baal. Now it must have been pretty big to get a crowd like that into it. And he said to them, that was over the vestry. What's the vestry? The vestry is the one who is over the uniforms, shall we say, the garments, the uniforms. Amen? He said, bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought forth vestments. I find this quite amusing, don't you? That they had enough special, what were they? Some kind of blazer, some kind of robe. Yeah.
Roman robes.
Yeah. And they had them all stored away somewhere. Everybody that's here worshiping Baal is going to get a vestment. Now, if there were 400 prophets, but there were others as well, there could well have been 1,000, there could well have been a couple thousand people that gathered here, and they had a robe for every one of them to wear. All right, now. Okay, and Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, unto the house of Baal. Oh, I want to get to this fellow here, too. This Jehonadab, the house of the son of Rechab. All right, they went into the house of Baal, and said to the worshippers of Baal, search, look, that there be none be here with you, none of the servants of the Lord. This would be God now. This word Lord means different. It means You had this figured out one time, Rita, where it says Lord in capital letters. What does it mean in the Hebrew language?
Is it capital L, capital O?
Yeah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D.
It means Jehovah.
Jehovah, okay. So in other words, he was literally saying, see that there is no worshiper of Jehovah in this group, okay? But the worshipers of Baal, Lord of the flies or whatever, only, okay? And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu anointed 80 men. That's 80 men. That's 80 men of soldiers, right? 80 men with swords. 80 men with weapons. Okay? Without, that's on the outside. And he said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life will be for the life of him. In other words, got him in the house, locked the doors. You 80 men are in charge. I don't want anybody to escape. Okay? So it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them, let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out and went into the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images. This would be the obelisks, okay, out of the house of Baal and burned them. These are wooden obelisks, by the way. They're phallic symbols, is what they are. That's what Baal was. Baal and Ashtoreth. Jezebel was the head of the worship of Ashtoreth, Ashtar, Easter, okay? The whole thing, Queen of Heaven, Mother of Gods. Follower of Semiramis. I think Semiramis was actually the first one. That's probably just the wind. Amen. It says, and they broke down the image of Baal. So there was some kind of an image too. They break down the house of Baal and made it a draught house unto this day. So, what did they do with the house of Baal? You could say, well, they made it a public latrine. Well, it was really more than that. They made it a dumping place for refuse. A stinky house. Okay. Thus, Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Now, before I leave Jehu, I want to go back here to verse 11. Okay? It says, so Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all the great men, and his kinfolks, and his priests, and he left none of them remaining. So it wasn't just the 70 sons that Jehu destroyed. It was the great men kinfolks the priests and the What do you call the people that take care of somebody? The caretakers. The caretakers of these 70 sons. Okay? Like I said, one woman cannot have 70 sons. I don't care how long she lives. It's just not possible. I've never, ever heard of... I've heard of 20. That's about the limit. Okay, I don't think that these are not all, if they're sons, they're not all directly from Jezebel. Okay, even if they're grandsons, to come up with 70 is quite a feat of multiplication, even for the third generation. So, this is the seed of Jezebel. Now, this is Jehu's doing here. All right, these, and the house of Baal, okay? Now, I want to go back here to verse 11. Jehu slew the house of Ahab. At verse 12, he arose and departed and came to Samaria. All right, this is still over in Israel now. And as he was in the shearing house, in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah. Now, this is from the other side now, okay? The brethren of Ahaziah, this man right here. And he said to them, who are ye? And they answered, we are the brethren of Ahaziah. Now they were probably not natural brothers, but they were relatives. They were kinsmen of Ahaziah. Okay? And we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen. Isn't that an interesting statement? Why didn't they just say we go to salute the children of the king and queen? They separated them. Were there different children of the queen than of the king? Why mention it twice? I mean, this is English. I understand the English language. I don't know the Hebrew that was translated from. Okay. And he said, take them alive. And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, and even 42 men, neither left he any of them. All right, now, so they are going over, what they're doing is they were going to have a visit over here with these folks. They were going to have a visit with their kinsmen. We're talking about the swamp. Okay? Now, and as he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. Remember, he's over in Judah now. He's over in the Judah territory now. Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? That's an interesting question. Do you have a right heart? Okay. And Jehonadab answered, it is. If it be, give me thy hand. So, now he's in his chariot, and he gave him his hand and took him up to him in the chariot, and he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in the chariot. And he came to Samaria and slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him according to the saying of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. Now, I find it very interesting that they give a name here, Jehonadab the son of Rechab. Is that all we're going to know about this fellow? No, it isn't. Let me take you to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 35, verse 6. Let's go forward to Jeremiah 35. I want to know who this Rechab really is. So this whole chapter 35 of Jeremiah is a message to the Rechabites. That means all the descendants of Rechab. Because why is this fellow mentioned? Why is he singled out here? There's something unusual about this man, and if he had not answered Jehu in the way he did, he probably would have been killed. But there was something good, there was something righteous about this man. He wasn't a king, We don't know much about him. He must have been a leader of a certain subset of one of the tribes of Israel. Now, we come to Jeremiah's time a little bit later. It says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. All right, so Josiah is the one that we're going to install down here in Judah. And now the next generation was during the days of his son. Okay? Let me just write the name Josiah over here. He's the king that came to be king when he was 7 years old. Okay, we'll get to that story. But now these Rechabites, okay? Go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them to the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Why would God say a thing like that? He's testing them. You see, these people are being tested. Why? Why would he just go to the Rechabites and say, give them wine to drink? Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanai, the son of somebody, the man of God, who was in the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots, that's not pots, that's cups, full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechabab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. This is the man that Jehu said, is your heart right? If it is, give me your hand. Come on up here into the chariot with me. And we're going to do some killing. No, it sounds funny. But we're going to clean up the swamp, is basically what he was saying. Now, here's a man, we don't know why, but he commanded his descendants, from now on, none of my sons, grandsons, great-grandsons, none of you are to ever touch wine. Boy, wouldn't that be a good thing to pass on through your generations? Wouldn't you like to see that follow with all your children? Amen. Neither shall ye build... Oh, it's more than that. They're going to be sojourners and pilgrims, aren't they? There's a... You see, very unusual. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Strangers and pilgrims they are. They have no tie to the carnal things. They have no tie to earthy things. Do you follow them? Very unusual. I'll bet you never noticed that before, did you? I didn't remember it either until I thought, well, I've got to find out who this guy is. All right. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses, etc., etc., etc. Okay? Now, we come down to later in this chapter, and it's the Lord is giving Jeremiah this as an example. Okay? And in verse 14, he says, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment, notwithstanding I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not to me. God is saying, look, here's a natural family that was given the word by their grandfather, their great-grandfather, wherever, that this is what they shall do and this is the lifestyle that they shall live. They have obeyed him. But my people, they don't heed my voice. I rise up early. I call to them. I do everything I can to get their attention. But Israel, Judah in this case, is not hearing me. Amen. All right. Let me go back now. To the end of chapter 10, okay? Verse 34, says, now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoaz his son reigned in his stead. And the time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. Now, we're going to switch in our history here. That just takes it to the end of Jehu's life. We'll switch over here to the other side. Now, we're going to look at Athaliah. Athaliah is the same spirit as her mother Jezebel. Okay? Now, when Athaliah, I want to read this in the Amplified, okay, because I find it very interesting to read chapter 11. When Athaliah, mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, all right, she was the mother of this son whom Jehu killed. Okay? So this would be way back when Jehu first was anointed. That was one of the first things he did, is he killed these two kings. So when she saw, okay, that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal descendants. What kind of a grandmother is this?
Demon-possessed.
Now, some of the royal descendants, okay, were probably not of her blood. Some of them probably were not. Like I said, these kings had other wives. Okay? But Jehosheba, let me write her name up here. Jehosheba, Jehosheba. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, all right, so she was the daughter of this man right here. She was the daughter of the man who married Athaliah. Am I right? Half-sister of Athaliah. Okay? Half-sister of Athaliah. So she had a different mother. She stole Josiah, son of Ahaziah, from among the king's sons who were to be slain, even him and his nurse, and hid them from Athaliah in the inner storeroom for beds, so he was not slain. She hid him in the temple. Now this, as near as I can understand, this child was 1 year old. So he had a nurse, okay, that took care of him, but she was a king's daughter. Now, she was also married to a priest who I believe was probably the high priest. Alright? And she was a good woman. So Josiah was with his nurse, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada the priest, Jehoshaphat's husband, sent for the captains over hundreds of the Kerites and over the guard or runners, and brought them to him to the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's hidden son. This is the priest. All right? I'm going to call him high priest. He's a very important priest anyway. He brought all the guards into the temple, and he said, I want to make an oath with you. I want to make a solemn promise with you. I have something very important to tell you that will affect the future of the kingdom of Judah. You must swear to me that you will not betray what I'm going to tell you, and that you will faithfully follow every word that I'm going to command you to do. Will you do that? And he must have been a trustworthy man. He wasn't corrupt. People believed him. People trusted him. And they said, yes, we make an oath with you. And he opened the door and called to his wife and said, bring young Josiah out. And he said to them, this man is the king. He is the one who is the descendant of David, and he should be king. So, here's the way we're going to do it. He commanded them, saying, this is the thing you shall do. A third of you who come in on the Sabbath shall keep watch of the king's house. What was happening here is on the Sabbath, there was a complete changing of the guard. Apparently, they would work for 1 week, and then a whole new group of guards would come in on Sabbath and take over the duties of the others, and then the others could go home and they could have a week of rest. But they would be on duty 24 hours a day, apparently, could sleep, you know, but still they were on duty. So on the Sabbath, there was a changing of all the guard of the temple, all right? And a third of you who come in will watch the king's house. All right. Now, who's in the king's house right now? Athaliah, of course. She's taken over. A third of you will be at the gate, sir. A third at the gate behind the guard. So he's dividing them up into thirds. So you shall keep watch of the palace from three places to be a barrier. And two divisions of all of you who go on duty, all right, there's the coming off duty and the going on duty, on the Sabbath shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord to protect the king. Okay? You shall surround the little king, every man with his weapon in his hand, and let anyone who breaks through the ranks be put to death. You be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in. In other words, you are to form a solid wall of guard around this little fellow. He's 7 years old. He's awful young to be coming a king. But why was he to be anointed so young? Because they couldn't allow Athaliah to go on and continue with her wickedness. The poison of that side had now come in and completely ensconced itself over here in Judah. That kingdom would have fallen too much quicker. Amen? The captains over the hundreds did as Jehoiada the priest commanded, and they took every man his man who were to come on duty on the Sabbath with those who should go off duty on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. To the captain over hundreds, the priest gave the spears and the shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. Those are good weapons. Mm-hmm. And the guards stood, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the right corner to the left corner of the temple area, along by the altar in the court and the temple proper. So this would have been in the outer court now. That's where the altar was. They filled the outer court now with guards. And Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony, the Mosaic law. They took the scroll of Moses and put it in his hand, the crown on his head and the word in his hand. Amen? And they proclaimed him king and anointed him and clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." Long live the king. Remember when we clapped our hands in that Seventh-day Adventist church over there in one of those villages in the Philippines? And the pastor got up and he was so mad. Well, we were singing, I don't know, "Clap your hands, all you people." No, you can't do that here. It's not allowed. I said, "Why? It's in the Word of God." No, you don't do it here. Remember that time? No, what were we singing? Oh, boy, you have got a memory. Yeah, wow. Anyway, he wouldn't allow us to clap our hands. But the priest here, and they all clapped their hands. Now, listen to this. Where are we? They gave him the law. You see, the king had to know the law. The king had to know the word if he was going to rule. And if you read the history of Josiah, he was a good king. He was a good king. Amen? And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she went into the house of the Lord to the people. And when she looked, there stood the king on the platform by the pillar, as was customary on such occasions, and the captains and the trumpeters beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason!" Well, what did she think was going on when she had all of them killed? That wasn't treason? Oh, she can do it, but others can't do it. My goodness, it sounds like, it reminds me of Jezebel today. She can do it. She can get away with everything, but nobody else is supposed to be allowed to get away with it. Amen. So, Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds set over the army and said to them, "Take her forth outside the ranks, and him who follows her, kill with the sword." Take her followers too. See, she had to have a support network too. There had to be people enabling her to do what she was doing. For the priest had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." I don't want her blood here in the house of God. They seized her, and she went through the horse's entrance to the king's. There's such a humor here in God, isn't there? She goes through the horse door. Not the king's door, but the horses, the stable, where they kept the horses. They took her through that way, amen, to the king's house, and there she was slain. So she was slain in the king's house. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people. The Lord, the king, and the people. Amen. Wouldn't you love to have a king that would, and a priesthood in our land today that would make such a covenant with the people of God, with the people of our nation? Amen. Also between the king and the people. Then all the people of the land went to the house of Baal and destroyed it. You see, Jehu destroyed the house of Baal, I think in Israel. But it would seem that in Judah, there must have also been a house of the Lord, or house of Baal, in Judah. Because we're in Judah now when this is taking place. Destroyed it. His altar, his images, they broke completely in pieces. Isn't this what Isn't this what Jehu did to the other house of Baal? Mm-hmm. Amen? And Matan, the priest of Baal. See, Jehu had already killed all the priests of Baal over in Israel. But now we have another high priest of Baal, a fellow named Matan. This fellow had to be a Hebrew guy. He had to be a Jewish fellow. A seed of Abraham. That's now the priest of Baal. And Matan, the priest of Baal, they slew before the altars. See, they had altars. Amen. And Jehoiada the priest appointed watchmen to guard the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds and captains, the guard, and all the people of the land. And they brought the king down from the house of the Lord. And they came by way of the guard's gate to the king's house. And little Josiah was seated on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced. And the city was quiet after Athaliah had been slain with a sword beside the king's house. And Josiah was 7 years old when he began to reign. What happens among the people when the spirit of Jezebel / Athaliah is put down? What happens in the land? The people rejoice. The people rejoice and there's peace. People rejoice and there's peace. I think it would be interesting, if you want on your own, to just go ahead and study the life of King Josiah. He was a good king. He wasn't perfect, but he was a good king. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, there were a few things that he didn't accomplish. There were some high places that were not taken down. Why? A king could not do everything. The people have to agree to serve the Lord. You see, the people are going to have their images, their idols, the things that they want. And they continued to have these high places where they went up and served these other gods. I think that's about all I want to say today. I think that kind of winds it up. Maybe you have some questions or some comments that you want to make that you've seen. I've enjoyed these 4 weeks of study of this is quite a network, isn't it? And you see it's not simple. It's a tangled web. You get all these kinsmen. You get all these priests involved in this thing. Here you have your 70 sons. Here you have your 42 kinsmen. Here you have the whole house of Baal. Over here you have another house of Baal. Here you have intermarriage of the Jezebel Ahab family over into the seed of David family. Corruption, pollution coming over into this side. I mean, it isn't the natural pollution, it's the spiritual pollution that's come over. There's two names. Oh, you're right. Jehoash. I'm sorry. Did I call him Josiah?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Cancel everything I said about Josiah. I'm sorry. Joash. Yes. Yes. I thank you, Rita, for bringing that up. How do we spell it here? Jehoash. Jehoash.
J-E-H. O-A-S-H. Or you can just do J-O-A-S-H.
Yeah. They all have a short name. Like, Jehoram is Joram. Over here, Jehoram is Joram. Jehoash is Joash. But look at this brave woman. Just look at her for a minute. She gave her life to preserve the life of this baby. And there was a nurse. There was a nurse. We don't know who she was. There was a personal care. See, these kids are royal kids. They have their own personal servants, you know, to take care of them. They're not just average peasants. But they gave their life. They laid their life down for the kingdom, is what I'm saying. Anything else?
It's interesting that in the end, the Bible says, Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all his heart. For he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. So it's interesting that God will use a man to deliver his people, to make it all right, and yet that man is not really necessarily sold out to God.
He's not perfect.
Right.
And yet God uses him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like our president.
So what does it take? What does it take to destroy Jezebel? All right. It takes a eunuch, first of all, that there is nothing in me that is attracted to the spirit. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jezebel screams and Jezebel accuses you and makes you feel guilty, this is one of the things of this spirit. It will make you feel guilty. You're not giving your family what they need. Mm-hmm. You're just going after this God of yours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Guilt. And I tell you, I fell under the spell of this thing at one time in my life, too. And I clearly remember, I was a lot younger than I am, but I clearly remember the day that I stood up and I said, you will have nothing more in me. I will not be moved by your trying to make me feel guilty, because I'm not guilty. I'm doing the right thing. And I'll not be swayed by that. And I tell you, when you say that, the scream of Jezebel, and she puts a contract out. She'll put a contract out on you to try to have you killed. It's what she did with Elijah. She put a contract on him. What God's do to me and more also, if by tomorrow I don't have your head. And there was something in Elijah that hooked him, because he fled when he heard that. Brave, bold Elijah killed 450 prophets, called down fire, and ran like a scared mouse from Jezebel.
Because he's just a man.
Because he was a man.
Power of God in him, but he's just a man.
So the key is, we need the power of God in us. Yeah. Jehu, a wild man. They say our president's a wild man. But he also says he's going to clean the swamp up.
Hmm. Yeah, he's rather like this one, Jehu.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he doesn't say he's a righteous religious man. But God can use him.
But I'm glad he's not, because these people that are trying to influence him in godly matters are wicked.
I'm glad he's not following them.
Yes, they're all probably, you know, the Pope's people, the Jesuits. They're probably all Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I think God is making clear to me is this, what Peter's 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I have to look up the end, because I'm not sure exactly what is meant by the end of your faith.
It's the end of your salvation.
It's the end of this struggle, kind of, right? Where we can now get rid of it. So now we've been set free of all the flesh things in us, in our soul, all the familiar spirits, generational stuff, all the garbage in there. Now we're empty. God can fill us with His nature, His light, His life.
Amen.
Once we're poured out of all that crap.
Yes.
So, but until then, that's where Jezebel scared Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was something in him yet that has not been removed, but we knew we were for our time, not for theirs.
But you see, it wasn't in Jehu.
No.
Something that the wonderful, righteous prophet had, a flaw in him, but here's this wild man that was imperfect, but nevertheless, he didn't have the flaw that he could be hooked by Jezebel.
But I don't think it's a flaw. I think it's because Elijah was aware of his weaknesses.
Yeah.
Where that man, he wasn't aware. Well, so what? I'm a human being. He didn't care like Elijah did. And so this thing probably troubled Elijah, whatever the weakness was. Where that man, he didn't care. He bold. This is me. I'm doing this for the people of God.
You read the history of Jehu then, the history of Israel then. There were to be three more generations of his descendants that would be king, and the very next one, he was not a good man.
Mm.
His next son, not a good man.
But you know, another thing I've noticed that, like you were talking about the mother, many times the mother is so important to that, the next child.
Let me read in 2 Kings chapter 12 here. It says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. See, 40 years, this young king. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. See, this woman came from somewhere else. He was the son of a king, but I don't think he had that Athaliah blood in him.
No, because it was Jehoshaphat, why Jehoshaphat ever gave his son to that woman, I'll never understand. But that was his weakness.
You see, Jehoshaphat had a weakness that he could be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to call upon the prophets. He went and did the same thing with this fellow here, Ahaziah. The son of Ahab, he went and did the same thing and go to war with him and almost lost his life there.
He couldn't let go of the flesh ties.
No, he was so, we're blood, we're blood brothers, you know. Sure, I'll go to war with you.
He was just a pushover.
That's interesting, isn't it?
But yet, he knew the right thing. Pray first. Let's ask what God says.
At least he did. Now, hopefully, I would say, now I think Jehoshaphat was basically a good king.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, I think he got it right. Finally got it right.
But another thing is that another amazing thing, Jesus, when Jesus did what he did on the cross and everything, now we can receive that life in us. Jesus, but they didn't have that then.
Amen.
So we have more. We have less excuse for our shortcomings.
Amen.
But yet, that's the ultimate, is get rid of all the stuff, the garbage that is hindering the army from coming forth and battling darkness, the forces of darkness.
You see, we don't just have to get rid of one thing. We have to get rid of, let's say you want to get rid of smoking, okay? Drugs, whatever it is. Adultery. You have to get rid of all the accoutrements
mm-hmm.
that go with it. All right? If you're going to overcome cigarettes, throw your pipe out, throw your pack out, throw your, wherever you buy them from, get rid of it. Don't associate with the people that do it with you. You know what I mean?
Mark, it doesn't work that way.
Well,
now you're smoking. I smoked. I could not. I did everything. I threw it out. I said, nope, I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to withdraw slowly. And everything I did, I'm in the garbage picking up cigarette butts. It wasn't that. It took deliverance.
Yeah, but still. You know, I prayed for somebody to be delivered from cigarettes, and he had the pack in his pocket yet. I said, brother, let's take that thing out and trash it right now. Well, I'll just smoke off the last few that are here. Well, then you're not going to be delivered.
I know exactly what it is. You know what it is? You want to be delivered, but you don't really want to give it up. Set me free, Lord, but I don't want to. Because, I mean, like I said, mine was a miracle what happened to me. But this is the only way. I tried every other way. My father was an alcoholic. He couldn't give up the cigarettes. He gave up the booze, couldn't give up the cigarettes.
Amen. Well, let me shut this off here.